How many of you have enjoyed this series? Right? I mean, so many of you have participated. This series, I'm not sure, but God used us in quite a way. And it has been exciting to be a part of and to preach. And all of you guys have participated with your ugly sweaters for the last 4 weeks. And God has done amazing things. And so there's, I don't know if you know if you realize it, but there's been a lot of people outside of our congregation that have been following us as well and have been excited about this series. Today, it culminates. We end this series. And I'm kind of a little bit sad because I don't get to see you guys in your ugly sweaters anymore. I'm going to miss you. So, but you can see the sweaters are hanging here one last Sunday today, and then they'll leave. But it has been a good series. But today, we get to focus on Jesus Christ. Look around this morning. Look at the white that's in the congregation. The purity, right? Just the magnificence of what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Because some of you had some really ugly stuff on. I mean, it's terrible. But tonight, or today, you are dressed in white. And how that changes you and I. That's the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. So we're going to learn about that this morning. And so, turn with me to the birth story in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. And then we're going to conclude in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And so this is the story of Jesus Christ's birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And also who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. Turn with me to the book of John. Back one book, just one verse this morning. Chapter 1, verse 14, page 1647 or so. So John doesn't give a birth story, but he gives this. And if you read 1 John, there's more depth to it. But Luke gives us a more detailed birth story of Jesus Christ. But this is what John says. He sums it up for us. The Word became flesh and made, The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's what we celebrate this morning, the reading of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've read your word this morning, and we just pray and we just ask in Jesus' name that you bless us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, may these words be your words and not mine. I pray for those that have gathered here today on this Christmas morning that you bless them with your Spirit. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus I pray, amen. I was asking a question to some of you this morning as you're walking in. How many of you have opened presents already? Anybody done that yet? How many of you have to open presents yet? Few more. All right. So the service will go all day today. Just so you know that. No, it's not going to. So, but let me ask this. Let me ask you this question. You think about all the Christmases that you've had, and if you're older, I want you to think back to maybe your childhood or whatever, and if you're a young person here this morning, have you ever gotten something that you unexpectedly were not prepared for? That your parents caught you off guard, or another family member caught you off guard with a gift that just kind of took you away. You weren't expecting it. Think about that thought this morning over all the years that you've maybe celebrated Christmas. One reason that many devout and religious people missed the arrival of the first Christmas day is because Jesus came wrapped in a way that they least expected. And Al, what's amazing to me is he did a great job segueing into my message this morning. He didn't even realize that. About that fancy present that he held up here, and there's that plain brown one. See, that plain brown present is how Jesus arrived in the world to you and I. Now, I want you to think about this morning. Many were waiting for this Messiah that would come with all the strength and power and the glory of a king, that would strike people down and set people free and just get rid of the mess of sin, the ugliness that was in this world. But instead, Jesus came wrapped in swaddling clothes. Instead of a grand palace, Jesus came into the world through a stable. And he used the feeding trough for a bassinet. Instead of a mighty warrior, Jesus came as a baby who needed to be fed and have his diaper changed. Of all things, he not only has an interest in our world, in our lives, but he took them on. That's what I want you to think about this morning. I'm not going to focus on his birth so much. I want you to focus on why did he come, and then what did he experience as he lived life here upon this earth. He became human in the flesh, just like you and I. We know that Jesus was without sin, but he walked this earth, and he understood all the ugliness of this world. And we're going to dig into that just a little bit this morning. But I want you to know that we've been focused on this ugliness this past few weeks. And Jesus knows your ugliness, my ugliness, very well. He knows the ugliness of this world very well. He knows your ugly thoughts. He knows your ugly words. He knows your ugly motives. And he knows your ugly actions. And you and I have learned over the past several weeks of how do we control these and how do we make a difference in the lives that we follow Jesus Christ. And that's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us that we're able to get away from this ugliness that comes upon us from time to time. But I'm going to say this with you this morning. You and I are not perfect, and you're never going to get rid of all the ugliness that's in you. You're still going to sin. You're still going to do the wrong things. You're still going to say the wrong things. These sweaters up here, you know, they might go away after today, but let me just tell you this, Christian. You will continue to wear these. I'm sorry to say, because you're not perfect. But the one who came is. And that makes all the difference to you and I. That's how you and I live. Under that power, under that forgiveness, under that grace, under that truth is the way we live our lives. So you'll never control all your ugliness. It's going to leak out once in a while, right? That's part of life. And what we do with that, it does matter to God. But just know this. How many of you ever made a mistake in here? Anybody made a mistake in here? Just a couple of you did, all right? So here's the thing I want you to think about this morning. As you leave here today, I want you to know that if you've messed up in life, you've done the wrong things, you've hurt people, you've broken relationships, you said the wrong thing, Jesus is bigger than all of those things. Amen? That's what it's about. He's bigger than all of that. And that's why we celebrate. He's bigger than all your mistakes. You know, we know the story well. And maybe you're new here this morning and you've never heard the story of Jesus Christ and the birth story. But he came as a baby and he'd die upon a cross to set us free from our sins. That's the gist of it. And then it goes on to say this in Luke 10, Luke 2. If you have your Bible open, you can follow along with me. Verses 10 and 11. And here's what it says. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you," now I'm going to highlight a couple things on here, and I think I have it in the bottom of the screen. Good news, right? Notice I underlined that. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. That will cause you great joy. How many of you live with great joy in your Christian walk, in your daily lives? Because this is what the Bible is telling us. You've received good news. Now live with great joy in your life. So what causes me to have great joy? Right? And so you can only answer those two questions if we know and we understand the answer to another question that I want to share with you this morning. And here's the other question that I want to discuss about. What does it mean that God became like us? He took on human form. John 1 verse 14, I shared that with you this morning. What does that mean? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And if you understand that question, you'll understand the other two things that I brought to you. Good news and how to have great joy in your life. That's what we're going to, by the end of this message, you'll understand that, you'll know that, and I hope that you leave with the hope of Jesus Christ in your hearts. So what does it mean that God became like us? First, we know that he understands what we go through every day in our lives. And I got a slide here I want to share with you this morning. And I'm sorry if the green box is a little bit small. You might have to squint a little bit, but there's a lot going on in that box I want you to know about, and I'll read them off to you. So if you can't read it, just hold on and be patient for a moment. You see, Jesus, he walked, he lived upon this same earth that you and I live upon. The things that you experience in your life are no different than what he experienced in his life. He was an infant. He was a toddler. He was an adolescent. He was a teenager. He was an adult. Let me share some of the things that he experienced upon this earth. Because he is involved and experienced the same drudgery that you and I endure. Now, how many of you loved the weather this past week? Right? Nobody. But Jesus would have understood the weather because he's the creator. But think about other things this morning as well that he endured. Did the Bible ever mention that Jesus wept? Most definitely. He cried. His heart was broken. Have any of you ever cried? Oh, yeah. We all have, haven't we? We've wept. He's hungered. Have any of you ever been hungry? And I would bet most of us, maybe for a few hours, right? But he went to the desert for how many days? 40. He was hungry. He knew what that was like. He saw disease ravage people's lives. How many of you in here are fighting cancer or fought cancer? How many of you are fighting a disease of some type that you didn't wish you had? Right? Jesus knew what that was like. Leprosy is very common in Jesus' day. He saw death take those he loved. Anybody lost a loved one recently? We lost two people within our congregation lost moms this past week. You'll hear about the second one here in just a little bit when I announce prayers. Some of you have lost parents already. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost a spouse, right? Some of you have lost grandparents or a good friend or an aunt or uncle. Do you think Jesus understood what it was like to lose a loved one? Right? Most definitely he did. He understood that. He understood what weariness was like. He knew what pain and suffering was like. He knows what injustice is about. You ever been betrayed by a friend? Jesus had a friend. His name was Judas Iscariot. A great friend, wasn't he? Called him out, and he'd go to the cross. Ever been accused of doing something that you didn't do? Jesus knows what that's like, right? He took on your sin. Took it all for every one of us. Jesus knows what life is like. Have you ever had to pay the price for somebody else's failures? Jesus has. Wrongly accused, he understood. And here's my point I want to make with you this morning, is that he became God with us. And we celebrate and we sing songs about it. And what's the word that we use? It's on the bottom of your screen if you don't know it. God with us. What is the one word that we use that's talked about? Emmanuel, right? God with us. Emmanuel, God with you. And what you've experienced in your life, the hurt, the hardships, the death, the weeping, God with you, because he's been there. And he knows your heart so well. All this ugliness that I've been talking about the past few weeks of the way that we act and the things we do, he without sin, he's experienced it, he's seen it, he's witnessed it, it's happened to him. Ugly words. Had they come his way? Ugly motives in the garden. Even an ugly kiss. If I could go that far from his best friend, he thought, Judas. God with us. But yet God says, I promise to wipe away your tears. Right? It isn't without understanding what hurts cause them. Because Jesus lived them. And when God promises to come to us to bring peace and joy, he knows what that looks like in your life, that you can obtain that peace and that joy. Because when God promises to forgive our sins, he does so knowing the high cost of that forgiveness. And congregation, if you're following Jesus Christ, what was the cost? The cross. Exactly. Exactly. Now you think we might be celebrating Easter this morning, huh? But how the two tie together. It's so important. When Jesus talks about everlasting life and giving that to his followers and his believers, it's an offer from the Creator. Because this is what he said to you and I. And I stood at the gravesite of many people, and I've quoted this verse out of John, and Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me shall never experience death, but have eternal life forever. That's the gift. That's quite a gift, isn't it? Eternal life. It makes the things in this world, even though they're hard and they hurt and they affect us deeply, more minimal, don't they? When you look at the end game of spending eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Because this day made it all possible for you and I. I have another verse I want to share with you today from the prophet Micah, Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 2. It's in the box here this morning on the screen. He says, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Prophecy. Right? We know origins from old talks about before creation. When we study the book of Genesis, which we're going to get back to here in a few weeks, that's what that's talking about. Origins from old. Jesus has always been there. From ancient times, before the earth was created, God says, I'm going to bring forth a Savior to redeem his people for your sin. Jesus holds eternity in his hands for those that receive it. And yet, he took on our humanity to redeem us, to give his life. I want you to think about the ugliness this past 4 weeks that we've studied the ugliness of our lives. I can't tell you enough. I can't explain it well enough to you. But he erases it. It's gone. You're forgiven. You're redeemed when you ask for that forgiveness when we're in Christ. You and I have been transformed. There's another Bible verse. It says the old has gone. Your sweaters that you've been wearing the last several weeks, they're gone. And the Bible says the new has come. I want you to look around just at this morning. There's a lot of white in the congregation. Some of you have your best Sunday, your fits on. You look pretty drip, by the way, this morning. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I want you to realize that the love of Christ, and I can't express this enough, is for you. That's what this day is all about. You'll go home and you'll celebrate with your families, which is great. You open up presents, you'll have a ham or a turkey, and you'll get together whenever you do. But I want you to remember about this day specifically, it's for you. It's because he loved you. That's why he came. The ugliness, when you ask, it's all gone. It's cleaned up. You know what we should really do is we should get these sweaters and take them out and just burn them. Shouldn't we? Because that's what Jesus did. He wore all that ugliness. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to get rid of it all. But that's what he's done for you and I. That's what I want you to realize this Christmas. You look pretty good, all because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Celebrate that today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's your gift of a child and what he does upon this earth, all the way to the cross, back to heaven with you. That's what we celebrate today, Lord. We are thankful that you renew us. We are thankful that you redeem us. We are thankful that you send your Spirit to live within us, that we may live this life. May we feel your forgiveness. May we feel, Lord, just the strength that you give us to walk and to live this life. Lord, your forgiveness is great today. Your love is beyond what we can fathom and measure. And we celebrate that today. May we take that in. In Jesus I pray, amen.